Also coming up on the program today, your chance to win a $30 gift card. That courtesy of La Cantina. There are three locations in Cedar Rapids and Marion. That'll be coming up on the program here today. We welcome you in. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer. It is the gym class coming your way right here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. And 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Thank you very much here today. Lots to get to and a lot of different subjects here. We're going to talk baseball with Cal Eldred. That will be coming up here in just a little bit. We will talk with Cal Eldred coming up. And also, as we mentioned, big changes at the Boys State Basketball Tournament. And we are going to kick that around coming up for you here in a little bit. As it is gone from a 6-day tournament to a 5-day tournament. So we will talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. And also, we'll tell you about the Iowa basketball team. They had their first overseas game today in Germany, in Heidelberg. And we'll tell you how that came out for a Tuesday night over there in Germany. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon. Yeah, a lot going on. We've got a full slate of Major League Baseball tonight, including the Minnesota Twins and the Milwaukee Brewers. Game 2 of that series in Minneapolis. So we'll continue 2 more days in Milwaukee. Last night, the Twins eking out a 5-4 victory. You're welcome, Cubs.
You think there were a few people around rooting for the Minnesota Twins last night?
Of course there was. And why not?
Just a few, anyway. So, and speaking of baseball, the postseason schedule came out today. Mm-hmm. As far as the dates are concerned, when the American League first round will go, American League Championship Series, National League Championship Series, etc. Doesn't go quite as far into the calendar as it did last year. But as you pointed out, I think in a tweet earlier on today, Mark, it will still go into November.
If the World Series goes to Game 7, that particular game will be on November 1st. And I don't know what week that is in college and pro football, but it's well into the season.
It will be the time that you would like to see the first polls come out.
Yeah, that's about right.
I know that. And that would be, oh gosh, week 8-ish, right in there, around there. So anyway, food for thought out there, but some good things to talk about here today on the program, and we'll get to it and want to get your thoughts on it at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. That is also our phone number here today. Let's start off with freshly minted news from the Iowa basketball team. They are in Germany, Heidelberg, to be exact, and had their first of their overseas games today. And as you mentioned, Mark, let the hyperbole begin. Iowa winning over the German All-Stars. And I have no idea what that means, but it's the German All-Stars. That by a score of 99-65. Luke Garza with a double-double, 17 points, 10 rebounds. Tyler Cook, 16 points. Isaiah Moss with 15 points. And Iowa shined in that second half.
Well, Dirk Nowitzki didn't play on this team, so how can you hardly call them All-Stars? But nevertheless, a big second half for the Iowa basketball team. It was a 4-point game at halftime, and Iowa wins 99-65. And Luka Garza, the incoming freshman big man, with a double-double today. He led the way with 17 points and 10 rebounds. Tyler Cook, 16 points. Isaiah Moss, 15. I haven't seen a complete box score yet. Just reading from the Iowa basketball Twitter feed. Starting lineup today for the Hawkeyes was Bohannon, Moss, Ahmad Wagner, Dom Yule, who's going basically back home for his mom greeted the team at the airport. And then Garza was the fifth starter. But McCaffrey is going to tinker with that lineup throughout this trip. And I doubt that will be the starting lineup in game one. Obviously, Tyler Cook not starting today, but minutes spread out, and Iowa's overseas trip underway successfully.
No services today. Cordell Pemsel did not play. Christian Williams did not play as well for the Hawkeyes. 45 shots. We do have the halftime stats. Iowa with 45 first half field goal attempts. 18 of which came from three-point land.
Defense option.
I was going to say, I believe the primetime league has left the ocean a little bit. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But that's the way it usually works as far as overseas trips are concerned. But Iowa gets the victory in that one, and that was by a score. 99-65. 99-65. Thank you very much. 55-21 in the second half. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. You want to comment on the Iowa basketball team or other things going on in the world today. We'll talk some Major League Baseball coming up here in just a little bit. This story, though, came down, toward the noon hour today from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Two big stories, and we will take them in no particular order. The first story is that the venue is going to be changing for the boys' state swimming meet, which will be starting next year. It will now be moved to the University of Iowa pool down in Iowa City. It has been in Marshalltown. The girls are, as far as I know, going to be staying in Marshalltown, the swimming and diving meet for the girls. No diving in the boys, remember. But the boys' state swimming meet is going to move to the beautiful pool down in Iowa City. Iowa High School Athletic Association saying that they enjoyed their time in Marshalltown, but it was just time with a world-class venue in Iowa City that has hosted regionals, other competitions. Why not move it? And you can get probably more people in there as well.
Well, what's good for the Big Ten Conference meet and NCAA meets should be good for the state of Iowa. And this is a move. I know the State Association was pleased with the Marshalltown YMCA venue, which had hosted the meet since 2005. Prior to that, the U of I Fieldhouse pool hosted the state swim meet for many, many years. So makes a lot of sense in my mind, and it'll be a terrific venue for the swimmers out there.
Yeah, and I think that will be very, very good for the swimmers. The other news, this one concerning the state basketball tournament. Now, there was talk over the last couple of years, Mark, and we discussed this on the program. We've discussed this in high school venues and whatnot on our high school coverage here on KGYM. And that is, there was talk of moving the state basketball tournament from 8 teams per class to a 4-team field per class.
Don't like that.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen now, because they have made the decision, the Iowa High School Athletic Association, to condense the boys' state basketball tournament from a Monday through Saturday now to a Monday through Friday schedule. We'll still have four classes with eight teams qualifying in each class. But you're going to have a much more condensed schedule now at Wells Fargo Arena. You're going to have something similar to what the girls have, although they're going to keep it with 6 days from Monday through Saturday. Does this all make sense to everybody out there? Hopefully I'm explaining this okay. There are good aspects to this. There are bad aspects to this. I agree with you. I think keeping the eight teams there is very good. Several reasons for doing this. I think one, and probably the biggest one, is that it costs a ton to rent out Wells Fargo Arena. You take one day off of that rental agreement, and you're going to save some money. I understand that. The other thing is that the Iowa High School Athletic Association has ran so many times into schools having their spring break, and you lose students coming down. They're going to avoid the weekend prior to spring break for some schools, and they believe they can get more fans down there for that. Now, with that being said, the trade-off is that you're going to have 9:30 basketball. I think it was last week, as a matter of fact, during the state baseball tournament 2 weeks ago.
9:30 a.m.
I said there's no call for 9:30 games in any state competition. I still believe that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the consolations. Still around. Still there. If you get rid of the consolation games, you don't have to start at 9:30 on Monday and Tuesday for this. But here's a schedule now. And love to hear from you out there. What do you think? 319-366-1600. I know we have a lot of high school fans out there. I know we have a lot of high school basketball people in general, that go to the state tournament, visit it pretty much every year, year in and year out. Used to be you did have a 10:30, 10:45 game. That was pushing it a little bit on Monday and Tuesday. Because they went to a few years ago to Wednesday only being 4A, the 4-4A games.
Is it pushing it for the teams or pushing it for the fans?
Both.
Or both?
I think it's both. Teams not quite as much, but the fans now.
AU basketball, they played 8 in the morning.
Oh, absolutely, but yeah. this is different. This is a different animal.
All right.
On Monday, you'll have the 4-1A games, 9:30, 11:15, 1 o'clock, and 2:45. Then you'll have 3-2A games, 4:30, 6:30, and 8:15. There is a little bit of time built into there, 15 minutes for everybody to throw down some food. I know our buddy Dick Dirks is going to be just thrilled to death about this. Tuesday, you have the final 2A game at 9:30, and then you have the 4-3As, 11:15, 1, 2:45, 4:30. Already reading social media, 4A coaches irate about the fact that you're going to have two games on Tuesday night and two games on Wednesday morning for Class 4A. And they're already complaining that it's going to be a huge advantage for the teams that play on Tuesday night because they won't play again until Thursday night. And then half the field, the other semifinalists, will be Wednesday morning, Thursday night, Friday night. And that is a point of contention right there. I think that's something that you get rid of the consolations, I think you can address that situation.
Association Executive Director Alan Bestie explained the reasoning, and you touched on it at least in part, Scott. He said, our goal in moving the state basketball tournament to a 5-day event is to reduce conflicts with college basketball tournaments and spring breaks that many school districts are engaged in. And you touched on that aspect. No mention was made of the rent at Wells Fargo Arena. Yeah, it's a factor. But a big enough factor to alter the schedule so much, nobody cares about the consolation games.
Very few.
If you care, give us a ring, give us a call, give us a text, 319-366-1600. If you've ever been involved in a consolation game, listen, you got beat in the semifinals, you just want to go home, don't you?
Usually talking with people, you just want to go
probably
home.
Probably as much as anybody would enjoy getting that one more game in for the underclassmen, but come on.
Do you ever
remember who was third or fourth in the state in any class?
I will say this, though. Sometimes they are great games.
So what?
I remember a Lindmark game a few years ago. I think it was double overtime, something like almost to 100 points for each team. And they are, and there are some circumstances, yes, where the consolation game, I understand that. But 90% of the time, yes, you're not going to remember the third place game. Do you remember the seventh place game? Whatever the case may be, when you get to the state softball tournament or whatever. Love to hear from you. And maybe we're wrong about this. Maybe we're taking the consolation game into vain here. 319-366-1600.
6429. On the text line, one of many coming in here. With the new schedule, you still have the issue of perhaps not being able to get time off if you want to go see your kid play. Also, do you think they will eventually go back to three classes if there is another round of consolidations?
Well, consolidations take place every year. There are two or three more schools this year that are consolidating. I would like to say yes. It will go back to three classes someday. I don't think it's going to, though. I don't think it's going to because there's such a gap between the large 64 schools in the state of Iowa and the rest. I mean, there's a huge gap there. You take your middle of the road 3A school right in the middle of the enrollment figures and have them play a West Des Moines Valley, perhaps. That's big. That's asking an awful lot for Independence, Iowa to play West Des Moines Valley. And that's probably what would happen if there was a three-class system. Unless you take only 64 and then have huge classes in 1A and 2A at this point.
Ryan from Walford kind of refuting your claim playing three straight days is going to be a big deal. He says, I played basketball in high school, and I see no problem with playing back-to-back days. Personally, I couldn't wait to get back on the court the minute the game was over. They are 15- to 18-year-olds full of energy. I don't think it's a disadvantage at all to play back-to-back days. As a matter of fact, I'm sure the kids would prefer it.
Kids won't mind it. The coaches will, though, because they want to get more rest for their kids, and they're going to want to get more time to scout. That's going to be the big thing.
87-21, they're ruining it for the average fan that wants to go and enjoy Saturday. Before, some classes had the championship game on Friday, some on Saturday.
Correct. Two on Friday, two on Saturday.
Right. And now it's going to be what the association is calling Championship Friday, where all the championship games are being played on Friday.
It'll be 2 o'clock for the 1A. 2 o'clock 1A, 3:45 for 2A, and then the night session will be 6:30 for the 3A, 8:15 for the 4A game on Friday. That'll be March 9th this year. Let's bring in Brian, who wants to comment on the changes at the state basketball tournament here at 3:20. Brian, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
What's your thoughts?
Has anybody been to a 4A championship game in the last 10 years?
I've been to most of them.
Okay. I've been to several, and the place is half empty. Everybody clears out after that 3A game is over. And I don't think it makes any difference whether it's on Friday night or Saturday.
Mm-hmm. I will agree with you on that. And I don't think that's going to change a whole lot. The only difference with that, Brian, is if you have an Iowa or Iowa State recruit or somebody like that people want to stay around for.
Sure.
Didn't used to be like that at Vets Coliseum.
No, they always used to have people that hung around.
Yeah.
I think more in the past than they do now. And you also had more people that just came to see the basketball back then than I think you do now. But you make a good point there, Brian. Appreciate that.
Hey, I came in a little late on the swimming discussion.
Yes.
Is there a change in the venue on the swimming state meet?
Yes. Moving to Iowa City starting this year.
Okay. The rec building there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as far as early morning competition goes, cross country and track are going at it early in the morning.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be going at it early in the morning now.
They adjust. They'll be fine.
All right. Hey,
some
Brian.
Of those athletes are in both tournaments or multiple tournaments, so they know how to handle it.
That's true.
Indeed. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Yep.
3:22 here on the program, 319-366-1600.
A couple comments about the consolation games on the text line. That's 319-366-1600. Thanks to Jerry Ask Investment Services. 11:21, my team got third in the state a long time ago, and I can still say we got third to this day instead of saying nothing.
You can say you tied for third.
86-50, as one great man once said, if you're not first, you're last. No consolation games, ever.
Well, I got to agree. And I'll say this about the consolation games. Since we have been charged with doing games at the state tournaments here, we have not done consolation games, because it's just not financially feasible for us to do that. With that being said,
About attendance there, that's friends and family.
Now, I will say that. Uh-huh. I was just going to get to that, Mark. The attendance for those games, 1A and 2A, show up decently. Not like if it was a semifinal or the first round, the quarters, whatever the case may be. It's decent. I mean, but the Saturday morning for the 3A and the 4A, my goodness. I mean, it is.
Anybody there?
Hello? Hello? Is there any? Sometimes they don't even need the PA. They can just stand up and yell who scored the basket at times. I think it means I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say it means more to the smaller schools than it does to the bigger schools. I just think the consolations.
Let me ask you this.
That is just past our time.
What's worse, consolation games or the coveted sportsmanship award. When I was covering state tournaments and had to vote on the sportsman, I had no freaking idea who to vote for. If my daughter was listening to this right now, she was a pom and a cheerleader. She was all into that. Sportsmanship award, great. Administrators love the sportsmanship award.
I will tell you this.
How do you know?
No. They should. The girls disbanded the sportsmanship award and went to a fan of the game. The boys should do that. I said it before, after the state tournament. The state of Indiana, I think, does a very good thing now where they give kind of a leadership award. After 2 weeks of Wells Fargo Arena and listening to every team with their people behind you from the opening tap to the end, how their team is just being abused by the officials.
It's almost in the category of, we need one more group to get a ribbon, you know, type thing.
It is so archaic. That's all I will say about it. That's all I will say about it. Let's go to Jim, who wants to comment here at 325. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up here in just a moment as well here on the program. Jim, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. First-time caller.
Thanks for calling in.
I got that email from the association. The thing that I liked, one ticket. It's one session. You don't have to leave and come back in for the night session.
That's a great point, Jim.
But they'll probably jack the prices up to $15 a session so they can cover their costs.
Well, I hope that is not the case. I really hope that is not the case. I'm not sure how that's going to play out. If they are going to, I welcome. Hey, the more people that can go to Wells Fargo Arena and see good basketball and see these kids play, I am all for. So if it's one ticket for the day, I think that is fantastic.
Yeah, I think I'll get more people to stick around too for the night games.
I would agree. I would agree with that. So,
thanks,
Jim. Appreciate that. See, there's a golden lining and all that, right?
We'll see what the ticket price is.
Didn't mention that. 319-366-1600. We'll talk more about this coming up in a little bit. We got any more texts coming in on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line?
1900 what? There's consolation games?
There were rumors to the effect that girls softball was going to eliminate their consolation games. Now, I don't know if that was just rumors or if that there was something to that.
You're old enough to remember the NCAA tournament played consolation games and then got rid of them years ago. In fact, Iowa participated in at least
one.
I remember. Yeah.
The final consolation game Iowa participated in.
Imagine if they played a third-place game in the NFL. Hey, we got the consolation game the week prior to the Super Bowl. We got a week there to kill anyway, you know.
Played at halftime of the Pro Bowl. Iowa-Purdue played in the final.
Yeah.
Consi.
Joe Barry Carroll with Purdue.
That's right. At Market Square Arena in 1980 in Indianapolis. And I believe the reason why, one of the reasons why.
That might have been the last consolation game.
It was the last
game.
Consolation yeah. game. The Reagan assassination attempt had a part in that.
Mm.
Because they couldn't, look it up. It's part of history. Give it a Google, everybody. All right, 327, Cal Eldred waiting in the wings. We'll talk more about the state basketball tournament as well in just a little bit here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Cedar Rapids Colonels at the good times roll.
If you love Mr. Schutz, then you won't want to miss this Friday's Colonels game. The first 1,000 fans get a free Mr. Schutz belly bobble figurine. That's right, it's not a bobble head, but a belly bobble of lovable Mr. Schutz. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now and arrive early to make sure you get your one-of-a-kind Mr. Schutz belly bobble this Friday at the Colonels.
Dave Austed here from Austed's Golf. We're dedicated to helping you play your best and look your best. Our certified club fitters will get you into the clubs to fit your game. And we also fit you into great-looking apparel from brands like Puma, Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. And the best part is it's all on sale, up to 50% off. Austed's huge apparel sale going on now online at Austeds.com and at your local Austed store. Save up to 50%. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Hey, it's Jim. I can't take your call right now. I'm digging for oil in my basement to help pay for my family's mobile bill. A little crazy, you say? You try getting a data plan that has enough gigs for my family. And I thought braces were expensive. We definitely need a switch.
Stuck in a dysfunctional family plan? Switch to Boost Best Family Plan right now and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. With Metro PCS, you only get 2 gigs per line for the same price. Plus, switch today and get up to 4 free phones, all on the fast and reliable Sprint Nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 9/10/17. Requires one line to port in. Lines include unlimited data, talk, and text. Video streams optimized at up to 480p plus resolution. Music up to 500 kilobits per second and cloud gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. Comparison based on Metro PCS's 2GB promo plan as of 4/25/17. For additional details, visit their website. Free phones while supplies last. Requires port in and activation on $100 plan. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Find Pennzoil at a Walmart near you and make the switch.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old-school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Back at 3:30 here on the Tuesday edition of The Gym Class, KGYM. Tomorrow, it'll be Caddy Smack on The Gym Class and KGYM. Myself, Mark, Rick Swan, Brian Haas from down at Blue Top Ridge, and also coming up tomorrow, Todd Schultz will be joining us coming up on the program. We'll talk with one of the pros out at St. Andrews, one of our great sponsors, because they have some changes that are going on out at the golf course.
Yeah, they do indeed. Anxious to hear from Todd. We know a little bit about it, but folks that patronize St. Andrews are going to be interested to hear the details from Todd.
Yep, so that'll be coming up on the program tomorrow. Cal Eldred set to join us right now on Tuesday here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Talk a little Major League Baseball. First off, Cal, I know that I can't remember, and I should look it up, but I just, off the top of my head, did the Urbana Cyclones play in a consolation game at the Boys State Basketball Tournament?
No, we did not.
You made it, though.
We made it, yes. We made it there. There were actually, if I remember right, there were in the Iowa Cedar Six Conference that Urbana was a part of, Urbana went, Independent St. John's went in our class, and then Gilbertville Don Bosco also went. So half of our conference made it to the state tournament.
Nice. Who was the other? Give us a little history here. Who was the other members? The other members of the Iowa Cedar Six?
Would have been Amana, Shellsburg, and Norway.
Love it.
Yes.
There was some good basketball. I know you guys went. I think you must have lost that first round game then. And but I do remember. I believe you set the world afire because I think you had a dunk.
Yes, there was a we had ran that play. It was a lob play, and blue bounce is what it was called. I still remember the name of the play. Blue direct and blue bounce. So we ran blue bounce, and instead of staying down on the post, I would come out to the wing, and Rick McGill ran it as a point guard, and he would bounce pass it to me, hand it to me. I'd go off a pick and throw it up and try to lob it for a dunk. We ran it all year long. It never worked other than practice, and it worked to absolute perfection. And it was a commercial for the state tournament the next couple of years, and I had people that they didn't remember whether we won or lost, but they remembered that. So, but we did lose to I'm going to forget the one guy's name. He went to Iowa State, and the other one was Troy Skinner from Palmer.
Oh, okay. Brian Pearson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So they were a good team. We would score two, they'd score three, and that doesn't add up very well.
Wrong year to play Palmer.
Yes, it was.
Had you reached the semifinals and lost, would you have really wanted to play a consolation game?
You know, I don't know that I would have. It would have been something that would have been fun, but I would say that I would have just as much said, you know, that's it. The only thing that, and Scott Brohammer, who was our high school coach at that point in time, did mention something to me. He said, when you do those games, it's nice because they do have an all-tournament team at the end of the state tournament. And if you do have those consolation games, you do get an opportunity to really see a player play a couple times. So if that's the case, yes. But, you know, kind of when you lose, and it's that's the meaning of winning the state tournament. You know, only one team should end the season on a win, in my eyes.
What we learned today in our baseball segment, Cal Eldred had hops.
hey, fellas, at that point in my life, I wanted to play basketball in college way worse than I wanted to play baseball.
But, really?
Yes, I did. Absolutely. And Kenny Sharper, Jim Vanscoy, Scott Brohammer, Dwayne Banks, they were all informing me that there was this thing coming around in June called the draft, and there was interest in me, and I wanted to be a professional athlete worse than I wanted to play basketball in college, and they all thought that that was my best route, so that's where I went.
Think back on how many great baseball people were associated with the Iowa Cedar Six Conference. Man, a lot. It'll make your head spin.
Yes. Absolutely, because that just in those two, it kind of slides over the Iowa Cedar Six. Most of our teams had the opportunity. I know Norway did, Shelsburg did, Amana, Urbana. We all had an opportunity to play on the Cedar Rapids Red Legion team. And you put those schools together and you mix in Jefferson, LaSalle, Prairie, all of a sudden you're going, wow, we were pretty good. Benton Community, they were part of it too. So we had a pretty good – Todd Becker was a left-handed pitcher from there that we utilized. And there were some good ball players.
Man. Well, let's talk some baseball. Here at 3:36. Think how things would have changed if Cal Eldred was a basketball player, but he's a baseball guy.
I would have gotten to know Europe more
than that. The Los Angeles Dodgers are 79-32. That is obscene. Holy cow.
It really is, and I, you know, there was a. I was looking around MLB.com, and I want to read that article about there's an article about all the records that they're setting and they're breaking. But I'm looking back. I was just looking back at my notes and seeing these guys and what, you know, each time I'll write down what they are in their last 10, and it's 9-1, 8-2, 8-2, 9-1, you know, 10-0. They are so hot right now, and the thing about the Dodgers, they do play defense. And you take teams like Milwaukee, St. Louis, some of these other teams there, and even the Nationals, who are, you know, have been in the top five quite a bit, they don't play defense quite like the Dodgers do. And so and at this point, they don't even have Kershaw in the rotation. It hasn't been that long without him. But they have been so solid. They've had very good starting pitching. They've strengthened their bullpen. And then they've had you know, their third base have players having career years, and they've got the rookie of the year playing for them.
Yeah, we lost a couple major league players and personalities this week. Darren Dalton from Philadelphia and the catcher, Florida Marlins. He was on that championship team. But Don Baylor, who we talked about earlier this week, died at age 68. He's remembered as, you know, former manager of the Cubs and Rockies and very clutch player in his time, too. How much, if any, did you run across Don Baylor in his career?
Well, actually, I don't know why, but lots of times hitting coaches don't pay a whole lot of attention to pitchers, especially when it's on the minor league end. But I do have a short Don Baylor story because he was our minor league hitting coordinator for the Milwaukee Brewers at one point. And I was just a young snot-nosed rookie. And we were in instructional league, and I'm throwing fastballs. But at the time, they told me I really needed to work on my curveball and throw it for a strike. And so I'm out there, and I was throwing, you know, not quite 50% curveballs, but quite a few, and that's just not like me. And I came in the dugout, and Don's sitting in the dugout, and he said, "Eldred, come here." And, of course, Don Baylor's not a small human being. And so I'm like, this guy's never talked to me. I don't know what I did. And he goes, "Sit down here." And he said, "Has anybody hit your fastball yet?" And I go, "No, not really." He goes, "Then why are you throwing breaking balls?" And he goes, "Throw it till they hit it, then you can use your breaking ball." I said, "Well, Coach, they want me to work on it." He goes, "That's what the bullpen's for." So it was, he was right. I learned something from him right away. Had another little story in spring training. He was sitting on deck down in Tucson when he was the Rockies manager, and Todd Helton pulled a cutter I threw, and it went right over the top of his head. And the crowd was like, "Oh, you know," kind of big gasp. And then he picks up his chair, folds it, walks in the dugout, and everybody's laughing, including myself and Todd. So I just know a lot of people that knew him, and he made a huge impact on a lot of people.
And then, of course, Darren Dalton, losing Dutch at the age of 55. And I'm sure you've faced Dalton several times anyway and ran across Darren, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, Darren, the thing about Darren Dalton is I remember him, the only time I really spent any time with him at all, and unfortunately it was during a player strike, but listening to him explain things, and very intelligent guy, made a lot of sense. Just a leadership mentality and kind of a aura about him. And then if you listen to a lot of the people that played with him, and I knew people that played with him, they said the same thing, said he was a guy that was in the clubhouse, had just as much of an impact as any player that a lot of guys played with. So he's a guy, especially being a catcher, you know, I mean, and you could see it towards the end of his career too, that, you know, he was playing through some injuries, but, you know, he played on some really good teams, especially in Philadelphia, and a pretty crazy group there in Philadelphia that he kept under control and helped them succeed.
I looked at the wild card standings in the American League today, Cal. 8 teams within 4 games of one another, and, you know, you can make an argument that any of those teams can go on a nice 9-1, 10-0 run. Is going to take a little bit of control, but right now the Yankees, Kansas City, Tampa Bay out front. Do you like a couple of those teams or anybody else in the race?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you guys know as well as I do, and maybe better being fans of the game, these wild card teams are teams that get hot.
Mm-hmm.
And we have roughly 50 games left in the season, and that's a lot of games. I mean, that's over a month of games, 6 weeks of games that these teams have a chance to get some momentum going. Seattle, you know, had their chance if they could have swept us in Kansas City the other day. Fortunately, Jacob Junis, our right-hander, spoiled that feat by the Mariners. But Baltimore seems like a team to me, and I know you look at statistics and the odds and all that. Baltimore seems like a team to me that could get hot, and they have been playing much better lately. Seattle added, Baltimore added. Tampa added. I mean, the only team in there, and they talk about the Angels, the only team that really a lot of people aren't talking about, Mark, are the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Even, and it looks like they're making, you know, they made some moves that said, "Hey, we're just not going to be able to compete." And it's, but they still, you know, I see the Angels were mentioned instead of the Twins, but I kind of like Baltimore. I think it's as good as they played early on in the season, I'm saying they could do that again.
Twins 2 games under right now after the victory over Milwaukee last night, but I just fear that maybe if this team isn't good enough, there's just too many teams ahead of them. I mean, 2.5 out, it's not insurmountable, but I think unrealistic because of the number of teams.
Well, I agree with you, Mark, and I think that really in reality, if they can add a few things, if there's somebody that they think they can part with, and it gets them more control over players that they think are going to help them next year and in the future, I think that's what they do. But because they do have a lot of talent, it just hasn't had experience, and they need more depth. And so I think they're making the smart move.
Boston Red Sox are the hot team right now in the American League. Winners of six in a row. No thanks in part to the Chicago White Sox for coming in for four.
Thanks for coming.
But anyway, you got to play the games and win the games. So Red Sox have built themselves certainly not an insurmountable lead, but a three-game lead right now over their rival New York Yankees in the East.
Well, I'm not going to count out the Yankees. But I'm also saying that having a good catcher, having an ace on your staff, and then you go up the middle, having a center fielder and a shortstop and then a second baseman, and they've got the ace. I mean, Scott, your White Sox have so many prospects right now, but what they are is prospects, and prospects they don't add up to an ace. So I don't blame the White Sox for doing what they did. I really don't. I think it was probably the smartest thing they could do. But with Boston having Sale there, and Boston doesn't have everybody completely healthy, and when they do, I think we're going to continue to see them play extremely well.
Kind of an oddball question, Cal, but I remember the movement some years ago where everybody's going to turf. And now I think there's only two teams in MLB that have turf. I think Toronto and maybe Tampa Bay. Is that right?
Correct.
Let's all play on grass, huh?
Yeah. It was interesting because Milwaukee had that question when they built Miller Park, and the players, that was kind of the time that it was popular. It was popular to put the turf in, but I really think that grass is the way to go. There's so much that good ground crews can do with grass and make it grow. And they make it grow, and it looks pretty good at Miller Park. So, and there's obviously, even in Arizona, open the roof when you need it open, close it when you need it closed. That's why they spent the money on that. And when you play on the grass, the players like it better. They're not big fans of the turf, even if it is softer and not like the old school turf that was basically turf on top of blacktop or asphalt.
Cal Elder joining us, 3:46, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. National League Central, Cubs won last night. The Brewers lost to the Minnesota Twins, so the Cubs with a game and a half lead now.
Can you say that again, Scott?
Yes, your Twins beat the Brewers last night. Cardinals have got it back to .500. Seems like each time the Redbirds get to .500, bad things start to happen, but they're only 3.5 out. Pittsburgh's not out of this thing yet. This thing will come probably down to the last couple of weeks anyway, when these teams start playing one another, and that's been the big advantage for the Cubs. I think I read in social networking that right now the Cubs are 10 under or something like that against teams over .500, winning teams, and 16 over .500 against teams with a losing record at this point. So they got to turn that around, certainly, especially the time that the playoffs come.
Well, and you're right, Scott, because this is an obvious answer that if they do squeak their way into the playoffs, and that is kind of the momentum that they're taking right now, they're going to play a good team, and they're going to get knocked out, even if they win that division. And I think a lot of the good teams, I think all the teams, are bringing their A game against the Cubs. They're the world champions. That's how it works. And I really think that they may squeak into the playoffs, but it's when the good teams bring their A game, man, it's difficult, and it's every day for them. And that's after going a couple years in a row to the World Series, deep into the playoffs, and having to deal with not only the playing the games but the offseason stuff. So this they're going to get tested big time these last 50 games, no question.
Cardinals, strange. Piscotty goes down to AAA. They got a lot of guys that started the season in Memphis on that roster right now.
Yeah, you've got Diaz, the shortstop, who was an all-star last year, had a great year. And I'd known Diaz, and I wasn't necessarily sold on him. When a guy makes the all-star team, you start scratching your head and seeing that, thinking. I would put my chips on Steven Piscotty to get this figured out. And they've got, it's tough issues when your catcher kind of the face of the franchise, not kind of, is the face of the franchise at this point. You know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, kind of going to social media to make comments and not liking the comments of Mike Matheny and the manager. And then now Tommy Pham makes comments about we're not good. And, you know, look, I can be as blunt as this. I know Tommy, and Tommy needs to just be quiet. Because Tommy hasn't done anything in the big leagues yet. So they have some internal issues. Some of the players are going and doing things they shouldn't. It gives challenges to not only the coaching staff and front office, but also just concentrating on the game of baseball. And that's really what they need to do right now.
Is Paul Goldschmidt finally going to get some more love for MVP, or is it going to be Arenado or Harper or somebody like that?
You know what, Mark? I think we need to make a pact here amongst the three of us at least and say that's who we're voting for. This guy is legit. I mean, he struggled at the beginning of the year. He really did. And to see the numbers that he's putting up and what he means to the Diamondback team, he should get more love, and it's about time that he has that he really gets that award.
Lots of baseball yet to be played, but we're getting into the month of August here, Cal. And how about your top five as we get into the first full week of August?
Well, the top five, there are a few changes, and I'm looking at teams that I not so much with the record, but teams that I think are headed in the right direction, and try to have that influence the top five. And I like Colorado yet. I really think that they're, you know, you look at their record, and they've got a chance to be one of these wild card teams, and I still like them. I think they believe in themselves. And then honestly, I've slid Houston down to number four because they're just not playing as well. And you have to be careful with a team that has gone to the playoffs, or younger guys, and when things start going the wrong way, they do need some wins here and there, like the last one they just had, that gives them a little bit of a boost. But they're at number four. Then I've got Boston at number three. I think we talked about them and how well they're playing. I've got the Washington Nationals at number two, guys. I know that may surprise some people, but with Scherzer having the neck scare be okay, I really like that ball club. But guys, there's just no question that the Dodgers are the best team in baseball right now.
Real quick, Cal, your son CJ did something you never did, and he announced his signing with the Kansas City Royals today on Twitter. And there's a really nice story on Hawk Central about CJ and his signing with the Kansas City Royals. Of course, our own Todd Brommelkamp broke the story, the fact that CJ may indeed sign with the Royals, and we talked about it on this segment before, but what's in store for CJ the rest of this year and beyond?
Well, you know, first and foremost, he is ecstatic. I mean, he's so happy, and it's something he's wanted to do for a long time, and the circumstances ended up working out extremely well. The only innings that he pitched this whole year, we had scouts sitting in the stands not knowing that he was going to be the one starting, but watching another player on the other team, and our guys really liked him. And really for him moving forward, it's going to be continuing to do his rehab. Now is one of the most important times in his career, and getting through the rehab of a surgery that Seth Maness obviously is a guy that was one of the first guys to have this done, Mitch Harris with the Cardinals also. And so making sure that he goes through his rehab process and gets to where he's working off the mound by the end of October and feeling good. Some people may not know he's had a couple different leg problems with his right leg. He had a tib-fib fracture. He had all the hardware taken out of his leg at the same time that he had the elbow surgery. And so that's feeling great too. And from a mechanical standpoint, I really think that's going to help him a lot. So he looks good. He's excited, and the Royals are excited to have him. And so he's where he wants to be right now, but you guys know what I'm going to say. He's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. All right, Cal, appreciate it. Thank you very much, and we will look forward to talking with you next Tuesday.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the baseball.
We will. Cal Elder joins us on Tuesdays. Talk MLB here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to get to break. We'll come back. A little bit of golf news. A few tweets to clean up as far as the state basketball tournament is concerned, and some other things to get to. As we get to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up our $30 gift card to La Cantina. There are three locations here in the metro. Fountains on Edgewood Road, downtown Cedar Rapids, Lincoln View Square in Marion. Chance to win a $30 gift card. Good tour to quick and delicious lunch, margarita after work, take out on your way home, or you can have them cater your upcoming event. That is La Cantina. Find out more at KGYMRadio.com. Caller number six right now, Kyle, 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. We'll let you know who our winner is when we come back.
All right, Dean, time for your annual review.
Take me out to the Twins game.
Okay.
Buy me some cheese curds and ice cold drafts.
Yeah, well, your lunches go pretty long.
I'm in need of sunshine, not a chat.
This is mandatory.
I want epic innings, not balance sheets.
Okay, I get it. Well, enjoy. And have a hot dog for me.
Change up your summer with the Minnesota Twins. Single game tickets are on sale now at twinsbaseball.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, are you stealing from the vending machine?
No, Mr. Employee of the Month.
Well, your desk is littered with, like, hundreds of snacks.
I merely exposed a loophole by reaching my arm through the flap thingy. Does that sound like stealing to you?
Yes.
Granola bar?
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the Gym Class on KGYM.
356 back with you here on the program, and Mark from Durant, congratulations. He'll be making his way to the metro area to enjoy some La Cantina food. And, no better way to come, no better reason to come. So thank you very much for listening to the program here today. Boys State Basketball Tournament, just to let you know, looked it up. They are going to have just ticket for the day. Come in for the entire day if you'd like, for all seven games or six games or whatever the case may be. So that's good news right there, Mark, from the Iowa High School Athletic Association.
No price that we've seen, though.
No price that we have seen as yet. They will not be free.
No.
Hey, a couple sad notes here during our program here today, as we have found out through several sources that country music legend Glenn Campbell has passed away at the age of 81. He's been battling Alzheimer's, and that's been very noted as of late, but he passes away. And former Syracuse football coach Dick McPherson has also passed away today. So sad news right there.
Wichita lineman or a rhinestone cowboy?
Rhinestone cowboy.
Gentle on my mind or Galveston?
Galveston.
Okay. Yeah.
Great, great songs. Glenn Campbell, as somebody wrote on Twitter, he was it during his day out there, but he passes away. Yeah, state basketball tournament. Thanks for the interaction. Appreciate that, because we want to hear what you have to say out there as far as the basketball tournament is concerned. Any other things to get to before we close up shop here today?
Nope, ready to go. We've got Lunchbox Heroes tomorrow and Caddy Smack.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We'll be at Cottage Grove Place tomorrow, I believe, for Lunchbox Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. And Caddy Smack tomorrow. We'll talk about 32 good holes at the AM and more coming up tomorrow on the Gym Class on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
GEICO presents a voicemail from your friend, Water.
Hey, it's me, Water. Look, about what happened in your apartment with a broken pipe. I just wanted to apologize for ruining all your stuff, and I hope this can all just be some me under the bridge someday. Oh, and also, I'm not paying for anything. Okay, bye.
Water never pays for water damage. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting coverage a snap. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.